What do shaky snakes, tiny pixel farms, and monster trucks all have in common? Find out next on Android App Addicts. Addicts episode 497. This is the show where we talk about Android app, Android hardware, podcast festivals, doors, hats, and whatever else happens to cross our mind. My name is Mark, sometimes known as the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel, and joining us, joining me this week, as they always do, the people you're really here to see, Eric, the executive, the great one, the manager, Ardini, and the door geek, Steve McLaughlin.
Hello, Mark. Gentlemen. How are you doing tonight?
Apparently, I can't speak tonight, so it's a good thing I'm not doing anything that requires, you know, me to speak.
Yeah, that's a good thing. We're just here to look at you and on the live YouTube stream or the recorded YouTube stream. So, you know, you got your talking done. You got paid. You get paid by the opener. So, you know,
there you go.
Rest on your laurels. Just find a big patch of them and just lay in it. What's up, Dora?
Oh, my. I'm freezing cold in this basement. I do believe, having lowered my blood pressure, I believe, but still on blood pressure medicine, and the combination of being on a very low sugar, low carb diet, I believe now it could be 78 degrees in this house and I would still feel cold. It's like crazy.
I don't think that's blood sugar or blood pressure. I think that's the weight you lost.
I agree.
Well, I can tell you, when I was 135, I could put my hand over top a glass table by like a good eighth of an inch, quarter of an inch off the table, and I could steam up the table. When I got married, my wife always called me pizza hands.
Hmm.
Now she calls me frozen popsicle kind of thing. So I just know that
that's
I'm
so
cold.
Sweet.
Hmm.
And I'm not developing any superpowers, so it's not fun.
So we can't make our Wonder Twin powers activate and make a like ice road to get across the street?
I would
ice
be
bridge?
A form of cold bucket of water.
Okay, so do not go on YouTube, I speak from experience, and say, I want to show my kids the wonder that was the Wonder Twins, and type in Wonder Twins on YouTube, because somebody recently, I don't know how recently, but in the not too distant past, remade the Wonder Twins in a stylistically perfect way, so much so that we were a couple of, you know, 90-second episodes in before I realized how bogus these things were. And what the tip off was when they were talking about the guy and his lesbian lover. I was like, wait a minute, what just happened here? So yeah, don't do that. Apparently there are no genuine Wonder Twin videos on YouTube. They're all these farcical remakes. So yeah, that was a parenting fail.
I tried to show my nephew Thomas the Tank Engine on YouTube one time and it was dark.
I want to say Zan and Gina were their names, possibly.
Zan and Jaina.
And if you were
and Gleek
here at podnext.com and clicked on Android App Addicts live stream, you would on Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time, you would be able to see, like for instance, a person in the chat named Harry Tubman, who's telling me that I should podcast from the tub. It's hot in here.
That's the YouTubers.
That's the YouTubers. Except for that, the week is just, I'm so happy it's almost Friday. And next week is I'm only working 2 days and then off. Calgon, take me away.
You know, do it from an outside observer. One could get the impression that you don't actually ever go to work.
He has a little.
Because you're always talking about, I only work 2 days next week. I'm taking tomorrow off. I got the next 5 weeks off.
Well,
what's the deal?
There is some truth to that, I will say. I've been at my place of employment now as a government employee for over 20 years, and I earn over 6 weeks leave a year, and I make sure I use it. In fact, my manager, two managers ago, during a yearly evaluation, verbally stated they thought I used too much leave. To which I promptly said, excuse me, and made them say it again. And once they said it again, I said, can I please have that in writing? She said, excuse me? I said, can I please have that in writing? She said, why would you want it in writing? I said, so I can show your boss that you have no idea how state employment works. If you do not like the amount of leave that I earn, go to the governor's office and complain to him. Because if they didn't want me to use it, they wouldn't give it to me. So, yeah.
Since we're in introducing everybody in the show, the as Dor mentioned, the YouTubers, our live chat is with us, and it's a pretty full group tonight. A lot of bathtubs getting filled with warm water at 9 o'clock Eastern. It's almost like the Super Bowl flushing, you know, scenario that they always worry everybody about. You know, if everybody flushes at the same time during a commercial. I mean the big game. I'm sorry.
This is Thursday, February the 1st. I'm guessing you guys didn't watch Jeopardy tonight.
I didn't. Why? Were you on?
They literally had an entire category of football in, I believe, the first round, because the last dollar amount was $1,000. None of them were able to answer any of the questions in that category. They literally, they saved it till the very last. Alex asked each question followed by the other. Not a single contestant even rang in.
Wow.
Because on the Venn diagram, that is football aficionados on one circle and you Jeopardy champions on the other, they just barely touch and share maybe one pixel.
I agree. I don't know, man. My dad knows sports and he's pretty good at Jeopardy. I mean, if I had a trivia contest, I'd bring him, you know.
Would he be your phone a friend?
He would. Yep. Yeah. Right on. I don't know football myself, though.
I know that we stole the name from the Europeans. What we play is oval handball. Now, really quick, I have a correction to make. Zoke, the honorable Zoke from Nevada area, corrected me in the most kind fashion he could. Tigons and ligars are not always sterile, sir. Male tigons and ligars are females and can produce cubs, and they can breed them again to get things like T-I-L-I-G-E-R, tilliger, tiliger. I was not correct in my statement. I will say I was one of those things, at best 50% correct, but I was corrected there by Zoke, so thank you very much, sir. Zoke also asked me to watch a couple things. One of them was, I believe, Carl Sagan, and the other one that we shared was a Richard Feynman. If you don't really have a lot of experience listening to either of them, I heavily encourage you to at least browse YouTube, type those names in. You don't have to worry about the results. And just listen to like 5 minutes of each of them just to remind yourself that not everybody uses words like co-fifi or like that. You know, it's a reminder of what humans can be.
I don't even know what Covfefe is.
It's a made-up word that people believe Trump accidentally hit send on.
Oh, okay. On Twitter. That's right. That's right.
Oh, excuse me, President Trump. Sorry, President Trump.
You know, I've heard a lot lately. Yeah, let's talk about apps. We talked about too much other stuff lately.
Well, do you have any hardware updates, Mark or Eric?
Well, I do have a question about hardware. And this is a question that requires opinions. And I'm pretty sure among this group, I might be able to find an opinion or two. So here's my question. Doesn't have anything to do with Android, but I've got the mic and you can't stop me. Actually, Dor can. Nest thermostats, are they worth $300? I've been trying to force myself to buy one. Honestly, I'm trying to talk myself into it. But I'll remind you that my very first podcast ever was known as the Tightwad Tech. I am a world-class, internationally known cheap SOB. And I just don't know that I can convince myself to spend $300 on a thermostat.
I don't own a Nest, but I do have a brand new furnace. And the guy who sold me the furnace, which is, he's a salesman, jackwad. I would never buy anything from that company again. But anyway, he said you can either get the York brand thermostat, which is all digital and will tell you when you need to change the filter by pressurization sensors and all this stuff, which turns out just to be a 30-day timer that tells you when you need to change your filter. But I could have done that myself. But he talked me into that over the Nest, and it would have been a free upgrade because this was a $300 thermostat too. So in my opinion, if you're in that choice, take the Nest every day. But I haven't heard great things about the Nest.
This is the way I'll put it. With such a generic question, it sounds like your mind's already made up, number one.
True.
But number two, I don't know. Here's the kind of thing. It's difficult for me to say who I ultimately believe, because old timers who have been in this business of central AC, heating, air conditioning, say programmable thermostats for home usage will never save you any money. If you're at a place where on the weekend you can turn it off and then Sunday night at 3 a.m. or whatever, turn it back on. So on the week it comes back on. They are nothing more than a way to spend more money, because it's going to take you more energy to get back up to a temperature or back down to a temperature than it is to just leave your thermostat on all the time.
Yeah, I've heard that before. I don't buy that logic. I just don't. The math on that doesn't make sense to me.
No, it's momentum. Momentum. Thermodynamics is temperature momentum.
Okay. Let me stop you there. That may work in Maryland, but in the South, your air conditioner is going to run. Whether you turn it on at 6 in the morning or turn it on 3 in the afternoon, the air conditioner is going to run. It's not going to stop at any point. And your house is going to never get to where it needs to be unless you live in a cooler. So the choice is to leave the air conditioner running all the time so that you can be comfortable when you're not at home, or you can turn it on and be comfortable when you are at home. But either way, your air conditioner doesn't cycle in the summer in the South.
So it's worth $300 to not have to walk over to it when you get home?
It's worth $300. I don't know. I'm asking the question.
It ain't going to save you any money.
The question is it worth $300 to keep my daughters from turning the air up from between the hours of 7 and 7:15 when they're here and hot, and then leaving it on all day when nobody's
at home? Yeah, that's a better
question. I'd say it is. In that scenario, yeah.
I'll say yes and no. You can contact any home air conditioning guy, and they can give you programmable thermostats where you can set a mode where it will not be on for a certain length of time. But if you love the idea of being able on your phone anywhere in the world to look at it and hit the button and have it do what you want it to do, I don't think it's beatable. I'll say that.
Yeah, so the Wi-Fi connectivity is the least, to me, the least desirable part of it. The learning nature of it and it figuring out when I'm home or not, that appeals to me. But no. I can't honestly believe that works. I've never had anybody tell me, because how does it know if I'm in a room that it just can't see me, right? If it's motion sensor based.
It has no idea. I know three people with them, and they constantly complain how, for no reason, the damn thing turned the heat off at 3 in the morning and we wake up and it's freezing cold, or in the summertime, you know, we're home and after 3 hours, it decides to just turn the AC off. And we turn, you know, everybody I know who's had one says, and this is after months of ownership, it constantly does stupid things if you let it do the auto learning stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's how I said, how is it supposed to learn? I don't understand that.
My thermostat doesn't learn. It's a very programmable. You can program it for seasons. You can program it, you know, daily, you know, like a regular programmable thermostat. But I mean, if that's all you need, you just put a, you know, yeah.
I have that, but you can override it, right? And so it doesn't matter what I set it for. One of my
you
children
need to get a cage
it.
From like a hotel and
or a passcode, right? Something.
You can. There is a. You can lock them to where you can say, you know, only like administrator type can monitor it. You can do them with regular programmable ones as well. The best reason to have a Nest, to be very honest, is to turn to somebody and say, I got a Nest.
Yeah.
Period. It does nothing.
There's some buzz in the chat room about the Ecobee Wi-Fi, ECOBEE. I may have to check on that. I'm not sold on it. I want to be that guy. I want to be the guy who has all the cool gadgets, but I don't want to throw money out the window either. Oh. So I'm just trying to figure out what is the gadget
I can.
Oh, go ahead.
I have no problem telling you, take that $300. There's no doubt you can do five times to 50 times more functionality than that Nest can do with your brain. And, you know, that money.
Yeah.
No doubt.
So, you know, at least you're the responsible geek, and you weren't the beta tester. You weren't the first one out the door. You didn't buy it when it was brand new and failed. You waited. You know, you should at least give yourself that credit that, hey, I waited. This ecosystem or whatever it's got has evolved. It's Rev 2.1 now, and you've been responsible, so you owe it to yourself now.
I had an old boss who used to say, never be the first the new to try or the last to lay the old aside. I like that.
I don't know if you're at the laying it aside yet. It's a little long in the tooth, though, honestly. It's got to be close.
Well, see, that the lay the old aside would be to lay aside my old thermostat. I don't want to be the last.
Oh, yeah. Aside, no, right? You should buy it. You just talked yourself into it.
Yeah, see, I, on the other hand, am your non-stereotypical American. I don't touch a damn thing. I never touch it. I literally, twice a year, look at it and say, I set it to 72 degrees or 70 degrees AC or heat, and then I don't touch it again.
The thermostat, you never see, I touch mine every, I turn it off, like, right before this podcast, completely, but, you know, things like that.
Yeah. I've known too many people in the business that say the worst thing you can do is turn it on and off. All it'll end up doing is cost you money.
I'd like to see some research
on
that.
And this isn't from the electric company telling me that either. That's just the people who work on the devices.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what the, you know, I would accept that maybe there's more wear and tear on that. So what is the, what's the return on investment there versus electricity burned and parts replacement costs?
The ambient temperature, that your walls hold cold and your walls hold heat. And that's what he was originally talking about. There's something to that for sure.
Yeah.
The electric company here, they send out periodic things like, you know, here's a way you can beat the heat. You can pre-charge the cool in your house. So basically make it uncomfortably cold in the morning so that you can be uncomfortably cold in the evening. No, the whole reason I have central heat is so I'm not uncomfortably cold or hot ever.
Right. And I will say, one guy who I know who's been in business for 20 something years swears to me this is one way to save money with AC. If you have, I can't remember the term for the type of AC I got. It's actual AC is the way I'll put it. It's not compressed or whatever it's called, pressure system. He took PVC and built a cube around his outdoor air conditioning unit. And he has a sensor out there. And when there's direct sunlight hitting that unit, a thing turns on that sprays a very light mist of water. And he swears it cools down the compressor out in the AC, which makes his temperature come out of the vents much lower, much quicker from, you know, a standstill. Hmm. Which I thought was at least interesting, but I've never heard another HVAC guy comment on such a thing.
I've got my big, when I upgraded to this high efficiency unit, the outdoor part of my air conditioner now is the size of a small car. It's huge. But I did have them move it to a different side of the house, and it never gets direct sunlight where they moved it to. But it's so big. They said they made it, my old one, they said was oversized for our house, and this one's probably three times the size of it. People look at it and they're like, they think it's some kind of a freak thing. It doesn't look normal.
Yeah, my last house, the one I was in, it was literally built in 72, the year I was born. And this was just like 10 years ago, and that thing was still running. I was amazed.
All right, that was a good discussion.
Still put away?
Well, I want to say, first off, listeners out there, if you have experience with this, or if you are in the field of interior thermodynamics, resource management, whatever, shoot us either a voicemail 7076podnut or an email at aaa@podnuts.com. I would love to hear professional input on this because I'm just a hack.
All right. So any actual Android hardware that anybody would like to talk about?
I went to re-3D print a new bumper case for my phone, and it didn't print out well, so I ended up just using a method that Liam taught me. It's called plastic friction welding, and I just rebuilt the one that broke, so it's good again. Oh, I almost dropped it again.
There you go. I think the bumper case is the ideal protection for the phone. It lets you enjoy the sleek design of your phone while offering some protection. But what I don't understand is why people charge
$40. That's exactly why I printed my own. Yep. I couldn't find one for like under $30-some, and I wasn't going to pay that for it. And the first time I built it, it lasted like 2 months, so I should get another 2 months out of it now. I'm happy with
it. Yeah, from what I was led to believe, just any protection on the corners and anything that can take the screen, if the phone falls flat, to give it a little bit of extra bump room to where the screen won't touch the ground as easily is all the protection that you actually need.
And this is PLA. It's not a soft, rubbery feeling stuff, but it's
TPU.
It's form fitted. It will not come off unless it's broken. You know, it's welded on there, so it's no worries on there.
Yet another reason.
I put pictures up on Google Plus, and people hate it. They're like, it's almost like face bag, man. They just really hate my bumper case.
Well, all that means is that you're ahead of the trend, Eric. And like, you know, 2 years, it's going to be all the rage.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You're just ahead of the curve.
I'm going to say that. It's unique. Nobody else has one like me. So it's like elite, right?
Thank you for not saying very unique.
Okay.
Because it's either unique,
unique is a binary state. It either is
like
or it's not.
More perfect.
There are no degrees of uniqueness.
It's more better than everybody else's, though.
Anyway, Dor, how about an app, sir?
Okay, well, curveball of the night. I am a huge fan of Plex. Plex to me is the ultimate way to categorize, view, listen, share media of all different types with either people on your inner network or over the public internet. And from what I can tell, in as safe a way as possible, I've not heard about any hacks, any gaps, any breaks, any flaws, any leaks of anything going on in the Plex universe. I will say, I do slightly worry about Plex knowing, for instance, I have copies of the Star Wars Despecialized editions on my network, because technically I think there are organizations and companies who might not like that. But for now, they do have access to it, and I'm fine with it. And I can easily share my entire library with people on the outside. Well, the latest news and what I've heard now from two people is this is among the best possible way to watch a movie in VR, and it's the Plex VR app by Plex Inc. It's E for everyone. Video players and editors has 100 reviews to it, 4.2 average rating, updated January 31st, 2018, between 10,000 and 50,000 installs, version 1.1.3.113, aka pretty new, pretty dang new. If you are a VR fan of any level, and you have no idea what Plex is, supposedly this is the best possible way to watch VR movies. So I heavily encourage you to give this a try.
I was thinking, for some reason, I thought you brought this last week.
I thought we've talked about this too. Yeah,
I didn't bring it as an app, I don't believe.
Oh, maybe did not. We? I don't see it in I don't see it in the list. So. Maybe.
Well, there you go. Woo.
Maybe it was on my other podcast.
I was scared.
Why? No. I think you're good. Do you have to use the Daydream for this though, or can you use other headsets? It showed in that video Daydream, and I don't have one of those. I'm like, because I was thinking maybe I could try out to watch a VR movie on a plane next week.
I think it's currently only Daydream.
Yeah, maybe I'll have to buy a Daydream real quick. Hey, see if they got that deal where you get a Nest, you get a free Daydream, and then I'll buy the Daydream off you.
There you go. It's a win-win.
Same company. They should have that deal.
Yeah, this, looking in the app description at the bottom, it lists devices, and looking at the devices, this does sound exactly like all the Daydream devices, because it actually mentions the Porsche edition of the Mate 9.
It does say Plex VR requires a Daydream View headset and compatible microphone. Okay, well, I don't know if I can get an eBay shipped Daydream here in time for. I don't know. I'll try. See what happens.
I want to comment on something that Foolish Brantley said in the chat room. He said, I'm really against the fact that they charge for the mobile app, meaning Plex.
Okay.
They got to make some money somehow.
I'm against.
And that's the way they do it.
I'm against putting mustard in crab cakes. You know? Okay.
I interviewed the Plex developer on my other show years ago, back before this thing really became the behemoth that it was. And it was at that time, I was begging him to take money from people because I was worried about the development of the program. I loved it so much, and the fact that, you know, free things don't have a sustainability, and they don't sell a product. You can't buy a Plex server or anything like that, but what you pay for is the Plex Pass, And part of the Plex Pass is that you get the mobile app. If you don't want that, if you just want to do through the web, a web browser on your mobile device, you get all of that for free. You get the server for free. You get their third party plugins, where they get you through firewalls, right? All that stuff happens for free. And then I bought at the time, it was a lifetime membership. I think it was $22. So I don't know what that is now, but if you're at all interested in Plex, pay for what you like, people. If you like it, don't complain about the fact that they charge for it. That charging for it is what is going to make sure that it sticks around.
Yeah, I kind of wish they charged people to vote in elections, but let's not go there. Yeah, and I'll say this. In my personal experience, the performance of this app versus other apps that I've seen, you know, I've seen a couple apps, well worth the money. And especially because it's just a one-time fee. This isn't like they're trying to get you to pay $1 a month for the rest of your living life just to have the mobile app. It's literally like at times on sales, it's $1 for the app.
Well, they do have a monthly fee for the server service, but anyway, the app, buy the app. I'd have to go look. I might do that while we're talking and see what the lifetime fee is, but whatever it is, it's worth it.
So the Plex VR app here is free to install, right? So that doesn't give you access to your Plex library then?
Well, if you already have a Plex library, of course it does.
Then it works fine. And the Plex library is free. My assumption is one of two things. If they expect, if you own a Daydream device, which you are in the extreme minority if you do, you've already paid enough people enough money. Here's the app. Because they could easily charge $5 for this app. People who buy most of these phones are going to pay that kind of money. So this app is free.
And I'm looking at the other apps for Plex are free. And there must be a subscription once you get in. Plex is free. Plex Media Server is free. Just for the apps, though, on your phone. Maybe it's, add-on cost once you start using it.
What I think it is now, because they changed it. It used to be just the app with $1. The app will now work, I think, as long as you're on your own network, possibly for free. But then when you want to access on your Android device from outside your network, it is literally like they're slowly releasing features down to the free market.
But you can do it through, like, the web browser, through Chrome on your phone. You can go to your web address, and you don't need the mobile app. It's better on the mobile app. It's a better experience. But you can watch your videos on your phone through the web browser.
Yeah. They're just giving me another reason to go buy a Daydream. And I've already got like 7 headsets sitting back here behind me. And I don't have a Daydream yet.
Yeah, but the Daydream is made out of cloth so it can get nice and stinky.
I know. And I got a phone that's built for it. And it comes with a remote that actually would probably work correctly.
All right. So anyway, we talked about Plex. We didn't really talk about this app. So it's... I likened it to Second Life meets Plex. It creates this sort of weird virtual environment in which one of the things is a screen that you can click on. I'm not really sure how clicking works with a Daydream. Is there some sort of thing that goes on your hand? I don't know how it works.
Remote, I guess, joystick type device that comes with it.
Bluetooth.
And so you can, in this weird virtual environment, you have somebody sitting on the virtual couch with you, watching the same screen you're watching. I don't get it, but 90-inch screen on my face,
I mean, look at the house that they're watching it in. I mean, it's a really cool-looking house. If you're actually living in a tent, but you have Wi-Fi and battery access, you could pretend that you live in that house. It actually looks like a skyscraper condo apartment, honestly, I'm looking at it more.
Okay, I'm going there. No, that's like going to a strip club. I don't want to go to a strip club.
Why not?
Because you can't do anything except look. That's pointless. That's pointless. That's just a tease. No, I don't want to put on a thing and imagine I'm in a better house. And because then you don't want to take the mask off. Then it just feels bad. You take the mask off. You have dirty dishes in the sink. You got to vacuum the floor. The trash hasn't been taken out because your kid went to bed. No.
But what if you're in a bathtub?
So you prefer hookers to strippers?
And you want to watch a good movie. You have the warmth of a bathtub. See, then that'd take care of your coldness. The warmth of a bathtub and a 90-foot screen right in front of you. What do you think, tub room?
No. I don't take baths.
You should. It seems to be a thing. It's like a new trend. All the cool kids are doing it, Dor. Maybe our hotel room will have a bath.
Why does it take a VR device? Why couldn't you do this with Google Cardboard?
supposedly you get higher refresh rates and higher resolution standards because it's Daydream.
Because you're not breaking your screen in
you
half.
Are, the Daydream are, I mean, lenses it, that are built into it are much higher quality than the cardboard ones. The wide, it gives you a wider field of vision than the cardboard. But no, honestly, it's the same thing. Only the cardboard doesn't have any straps, so you have to hold it up to your face the entire movie. So that's like an hour and a half of holding your arm in one position. That's tedious, but and the cardboard only, it does have a clicker, I guess, so that's kind of fixed there.
Yeah, I mean, that gives you a way to interact with it.
Gary Tubman in chat says he lives in a tent with Wi-Fi and a bathtub.
It's like one of those Harry Potter tents that's bigger on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
I think you just made a lot of Doctor Who fans mad, I'm just saying.
Anyway, okay, so Eric,
my first app is a game. Please, you know, I got a lot of games this week because I got to gear up and be ready for the Podfest. So my first game that I'm bringing tonight is called Minimalist Pinball, and it's basically pinball. It's a good playing game, but the pinball boards that you're playing on are really they're not
hinged.
They're what?
Nothing. Sorry.
No, they're just, there's not a whole lot to them.
Well, it's called minimalistic pinball, Eric. What would you expect?
Yeah, yeah. No, but the physics and everything work just like a regular pinball machine. There's just not a whole lot of flashing lights or anything like that.
So can you tilt your phone?
Ooh,
tilt
I didn't try that. I doubt it. I don't think so.
But Eric, I just got to say, I would rather have a more minimalistic board on my pinball because then I think it gives me at least a little bit of better odds of holding the ball on the flipper, then dropping the flipper, and then trying to hit that one spot.
Yeah.
Instead of having, you know, like a 16-foot pinball board with a billion obstacles in the way kind of thing. I like at least a little bit more spread out. And most of these boards to me are nice because right in front of your bumpers, there's not a whole lot of stuff to like immediately knock the ball back down. And it is a little bit spread out. I like the look of this.
It plays really well. I was impressed. I guess I can kind of see what you're saying too. When you don't have too many things in the way, it makes it easier to hit your, you know, your goals that you're trying to knock the ball into.
I think Tommy likes it.
Exactly. And that's the only thing that matters.
Well, all of them were pretty minimalistic for him, since I couldn't see really any of them.
Well, he's a wizard. I mean, what do you want?
Yeah.
He's not the wizard because he was playing Super Mario 3, but this is a different kind of wizard. I'm tempted.
Now that we've had a couple of emails, I mean, apps, how about an email?
I'll say really quick, Eric, I am tempted to install this.
Just
I hate you.
Do it. Okay, it's email. Free. You'll like it. It's by Bycode Games. E for Everyone. It does have in-app purchases. Has 1,600 reviews, 4.1 average review.
All right. Now can I do the email?
Sorry, yes.
Or is there something?
Door was up in there. He was contemplating the install. Yeah. Did you do it, Door?
No, not yet.
Oh, man.
I'm documenting the apps. What are you doing?
Well, I'm sitting here looking pretty, but I was hoping you at least installed it.
And you do it well. So Michael writes in response to our response to his email last week about should he buy a Samsung S7. He says, "Hey guys, it was great to hear my email read and answered on the last AAA podcast. Thank you. But I must say the responses, especially from Mark, was very much Dave Ramsey-ish, which is a good thing. I'm going to hold on to my aging but dependable Note 3 and save towards purchasing a phone off contract. Since the Samsung Galaxy S9 will be arriving shortly, there may be some discounts on the S8 phones forthcoming. Thanks again. Remember my new mantra, when you're going through hell, keep going." That was Winston Churchill, by the way.
So do you want to let the listeners who do not know who Dave Ramsey is, who Dave Ramsey is?
Oh, Dave Ramsey is a financial guy. He's all debt is terrible. Cut up your credit cards. He has the baby steps, seven baby step program where you first save $1,000 as a baby emergency fund. Then you eliminate all debts, starting with the smallest balance first, regardless of regardless of interest rate, rather. And then you save 15% of your income in retirement. And then you save up for your kids' college. Then you pay off your house early. Then you save and get rich and give generously. Those are the seven baby steps in a nutshell. And I can't say that my thinking wasn't in some way influenced by him, but I've always been very anti-debt, and especially anti-buying a phone on debt. If you can't afford it, you can't afford it. So Yeah, guilty as charged.
Well, and really, one, that's why I asked Mark to say that, because I knew Mark knew all this, so he would give a very answer and not just, he's a money guy, which I would have said. But two, we need more people to say that, is what I'm going to say, because I'm guilty. I'm just as guilty, if not more guilty, than the average American. I am amazed. I have no problem saying this out loud into the public. I am amazed at the money I make versus my education level. My wife's education level is definitely higher than me, but a combined income level, I could have never dreamed in my life we could live close to as comfortably as we live. Yet I'm just as guilty as turning to her and saying, I don't feel like cooking. You want to order some food? And just going into debt. So we all need to be reminded, there's better things to invest your money in down the road versus right now. You need to prize that money.
Yeah, buy Bitcoin.
Buy Bitcoin. Oy vey.
Okay. Just because you brought it up, stop with all the articles, people, about how Bitcoin has had huge losses. It is up $8,000 from where it was a year ago. Yes, it's down $10,000 from where it was at its high, but if you bought a couple of years ago, you're sitting pretty. Stop writing the clickbait articles about how Bitcoin is dead.
Isn't that the whole point of investment? To not panic when reactionary things happen, but instead be in it for the long haul. So if it goes up or down, doesn't matter. It's all, what's the word, Mark?
Dollar cost averaging.
It's all, it isn't a real loss because you haven't cashed in yet.
Right.
Vapor, air, liquid money. I don't know. Liquid assets. So there's no real loss until you take the time of cashing in. I can't remember the term.
No, that's not what
I know. I'm completely wrong.
It's irrational exuberance.
So let's see. Right now, because I have the app on my phone, I can tell you it's $8,690. When we started this podcast, it was over $9,000. So it's lost $400 in value since we started this podcast.
That's what our podcast does. It sucks the value out of everything.
Yeah, but now that we've got it in the tub room, it's watch it. It'll start going.
And Foolish Brantley, I'm sure you were, or Foolish Nick, excuse me, I'm sure you were making a joke when you said, what is Bitcoin? But if you want to know, go back and listen to any Geek Rant podcast from 2017, because we covered it pretty extensively, because all three of us are kind of
Don't get me
it.
Wrong, they were good episodes, very good episodes. But I will still say the best explanation of Bitcoin I heard was Steve Gibson's first endeavor into Bitcoin, yeah. Because it was more the technical aspects of how intrinsic value was expected and how it was planned on being handled and the actual math behind that. I love when I just find random people that just tell me how stupid everyone is for investing in Bitcoin because it ain't real. I'm like,
right. Neither is a dollar bill.
You have no idea what you're talking about. So then I just love arguing with them because it's so easy to argue with someone undereducated is, I would say, like shooting fish in a barrel, but it's actually kind of hard because of the 30 degree refraction of light. But let's not get it. It's easy. It's really easy to argue with them people.
I don't kick. Oh, go ahead.
I will say this regarding the price drop. The only people that get hurt on a roller coaster are those who jump off.
Oh, damn. That's good.
I like that too. Bitcoin's one of the only things I really kick myself in the butt for anything. You know, I really don't beat myself up about doing or not doing things in the past. That one, I really saw it. I could have bought it a lot cheap, but
when I first heard about Bitcoin, it was like 80 cents per Bitcoin. And I was like, I could throw $1,000. I've got $1,000. I could do that. And if it lost $1,000, I wouldn't care. You realize how much money I would have had a few months ago if I'd bought 1,000 Bitcoin?
I remember.
I wouldn't be here.
There were places you could go on the web and just click a link and it would give you a Bitcoin or a piece of a Bitcoin. That's how cheap they were. They were giving that crap away. Yeah.
Yeah. There's the famous story. Got the guy that bought a pizza for 25 Bitcoin and now it's like a $600 million pizza. Anyway. Door, next app, please.
Next app I'm going to bring is going to be this is not like me to this is an app. This is exactly like me. This is a ultra retro style game. I do believe it's completely new IP, intellectual property for the noobs among us. It's a game called Cat's Buy. Cat's Buy? Cat's Be. Cat's Buy. I'm going to say
Gatsby, like Great Gatsby, but with cats.
And that's why I purposely paused. Thank you very much, Mark. By OOTOT Games, Action, E for Everyone, does have ads and in-app purchases of some sort. Completely free to download. 45 reviews, average 3.9 reviews. Updated January 29, 2018. Installs between 1 and 5,000. Current version 1.6.0. Part of the reason this game caught my attention, besides just retro pixel-ish, is it literally looks like it has the exact same color palette of the old classic Game Boy games.
Which was not a good thing, well, Dor.
Nostalgia was first classified as a disease for a reason. It isn't good or bad that it looks like this. It's just a thing. It just is a fact. It's one of the points to make about the game. I played it for a good 20, 30 minutes. I found it a hell of a lot of fun. Not crazy in-depth gameplay, but requires enough at least thought. There's a good amount of puzzle platforming you got to do, but also as much adventure platforming with swords and bombs and the like. To me, just a genuine fun game.
For those who don't know what an original Game Boy looked like, your filter sepia would probably be the closest.
I don't know. I'll just say green, yeah, and black and light green.
You could call it black and white, but that's an insult to black and white.
Yeah. I would say grayscale, but then again, I would have to say green scale.
Right. Yeah, the original Game Boy was terrible in every way. But the only good thing about it is that it brought later Game Boys.
No, the best thing about it was it had Tetris.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Fair enough.
And Tetris was awesome. This is not Tetris, but it was fun. I will say that. And I did install it on the GPD, which is still running like day one, 3 years old now. I bought it at 3 years ago for $149. It's still difficult to get that thing at $149. The typical price is around $160 still, because the damn thing just works and it runs all these kind of games just fine, even though it's still running 4.4, which I believe is Gingerbread. Yeah, and guess what? I don't care. I don't do web browsing on it. I don't do text messaging on it. I don't do email on it. I don't do Voxer on it. I don't do anything on it to get exploited. I simply play games.
That's good.
Fair enough. So, Eric.
I'm bringing another game. This is a game night. This is family game night, guys. This one was a recommendation from Ivor, and it is called Rainbow Puke. And it's by My Box Game Studio. It's an arcade game, E for Everyone. Has 1,700 reviews, 4.5 stars. And it's kind of an endless runner-ish kind of game. You just tap, and you move right, you tap again, you move left. You are a planet puking out rainbows, and you need to avoid clouds. And every now and then you'll eat a cucumber, which somehow, or for some reason, when you run into a cucumber, there's potatoes and cucumbers floating around in the air. You run into potatoes, it puts little rocket jetpacks on you. And when you've got the rocket jetpacks on you, it gives you one free cloud run into without dying. So then it kind of bumps up one hit point, I guess. If you run into a cucumber, then the whole screen becomes psychedelic with shiny silver fish that you have to run into as many fish as possible.
Sure, that's not a mushroom?
It's a cucumber. You would think it's a mushroom. The game was just okay until I got to the fish, and it just blew my mind. It's one of the most beautiful things you'll see on your phone screen, except for the app I'm bringing up later. Give it a try if you want a visual treat and a fun game.
Voted best casual experience of 2015 by the Rainbow Together Association. That can't be a real association.
Rainbow Together Association? Wow. I'm still paying for my therapy from the bronies. I don't know if I need to get into anything else right now.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I can't.
Oh, Dor, you would love this.
No, I will not. I will hate it, in fact. I can't. I'm sorry.
Man.
It's not you, it's me.
Just a quick correction. Android 4.0 is ice cream sandwich. Gingerbread was 2.
So I have 4.4, so it's jelly bean? There's no way it's ice cream sandwich. This 4.4. That was when I think they were changing names midstream.
Yeah,
4.4.
Your Rainbow Together Association may be fake because the one right below it says winner of the most funniest app on Puke Olympics of 1986. I don't know. This app seems like it's got too good of graphics for that.
Reviewed as an awesome, crazy, casual game by a box per cat.
Warning, it may contain traces of potato and other tropical vegetables. Yeah, these guys know how to make fun.
That's exactly what I thought.
Door shakes head. Door.
I'm uncomfortable.
You would love that game, Door. You should try it. You'd love it more than the other game I brought, whatever it was. Do I get to do two in a row?
All right. Door, that's did. Me. What? Okay, fine.
All right. Do two. I'm going to bring this one then.
I'm losing any control. Not that I ever had much.
Two in a row.
Didn't you? You brought Plex and then a game.
No.
Yeah, but you brought the pinball in between them.
Okay, go ahead.
See, that's why I document, Eric.
Nope.
So nobody, let me read an email. This is from Randy, who we also read his email last week. He said, "Holy cow, I had no idea you would read my entire email on the podcast. Have to keep those short, I guess. Two app suggestions. First is File Manager Plus. It's my current favorite file manager, full-featured and doesn't take over the entire phone. Nice UI, great cloud support, lets you connect to multiple cloud file storages. I use this to connect to several Google Drive accounts for cloud storage. Do you have a favorite file manager app? And second, Remindy lets you create reminders from any app that lets you share content. Very simple app, very useful."
I installed Remindy. I have not tried it yet. It's kind of like you just use the share button in your any app. You know, you use your share button and it shows up in there. Kind of, I guess it would be kind of like Pocket, would be my closest thought. I haven't really used it yet, though, but it's installed. And the only reason Mark read your entire email last show is because you said he was right about something.
Yes, that's the way to get your email read. Start it with Mark was right.
Yep. I will say Remindy. I don't know if I got this from you, Randy, but it's been in my queue now for at least a little bit of time. I haven't had a chance to do like a full breakdown on it. This is the kind of app I love the idea of. But I will say right now I am completely hooked on just doing Google Now and saying set reminder. So I'm going to have to dig in and see how this app differentiates itself from that simple feature. Because I don't recall the need to have a reminder set upon the app itself, just a general kind of thing. And just, I'll say really quick, the file manager, after ES File Explorer, which was the long, long-term number one go-to file manager for years on this show, I became very, very wary and very, very suspect of file managers. The one I use right now is called FileFX, I believe. FileFX Explorer. Yes, FX File Explorer by Next App Inc. Because these apps have potentially so much access to so much sensitive information besides the entirety of your phone's file system, I am extremely concerned about what apps I install that can do that. So right now I'm on FX File Explorer and I'm not going to go off of it until I have a genuine reason to go off of it.
What are you getting out of FX File Explorer that you don't get out of your regular built-in Google one?
Oh, super easy ability to save securely encrypted blob passwords to my website, to my own cloud, to my Google Drive, to Dropbox, to any other remote cloud management. So it's very easy to essentially copy paste files between network shares on my network, my website, other file tools like that. Also, it does have a handy built-in text editor that does seem to do most of what I need to do with editing text. So I've genuinely relied on that for more than a couple of things in the past, and it seems to work fine.
Cool. I don't use anything. I'm not transferring files across networks too often anyway.
My file manager of choice is Solid Explorer, which is where I went after ES File Explorer took a dump on me. I use it again for the same reasons, seamless transition between apps on the phone, apps in the cloud. I mean, files on the phone, files in the cloud, and files on my own network.
Yeah. And, that was the other one that came highly suggested to me in the past. And I did try it for a while, and it really almost came down to like color palettes to me between FX and Solid, and it was just a coin toss, and I ended up with FX.
So this Remindy thing, I'm trying to figure out what that does. So you share anything from any app, and it becomes a reminder. So it can be a picture, it can be a note, it can be a web URL. But how do the reminders remind you?
The impression I get, at least, is there is actual no reminding thing. It just sits in your notification tray as a, it's more like a post-it note. Is the way that I gathered it. And you,
Eric, you said you tried it.
Yeah, I don't remember. I'd used it. I had it installed, and I used it to remind me for some, or I remind me of, like I was on a website and I used the share button and hit remind me of this website, but I don't remember it coming up anywhere. So I was thinking maybe I have to go into my app. That's why I thought it was more like, what was I said earlier? Where you'd go back into the Remindy app itself, and then you'd see all the things that you try to remind yourself of. Like you go back, like
if I just read the description on the website, I'd know. Hit the share button in any app from the content you want to create a reminder. Tap Remind Me and set the date and time you want to be reminded at. Done. You don't even have to leave the app you're in. So it's a scheduled notification.
I didn't get that part to come up.
Here's the only feature of it that I saw that I really do like. While it is in your notification shade, you do have the ability to snooze a reminder, which is a good thing, but at the same time, a dangerous thing, because then you end up with like four things snoozed, taking up, you know, half of your notification shade.
And for those of you that complain that all I do is interrupt the other guys, yes, I did interrupt Eric.
No, I'm not.
I apologize, Eric.
None taken.
Well, that's why you get paid. You're the Sultan on the soapbox, not the slacker on the curb.
Wait, I get paid?
Yeah, you just close your eyes and...
Click here, you get a free Bitcoin.
Yeah.
All right, so we had two apps from our friend Randy. Now, Dor, what is your next app?
The next app I'm going to do this one because it's another retro-ish game, and the fans of this game, at least to me, seem very passionate. It was a game called Harvest Moon, I believe on PlayStation 1, maybe? But I believe also PlayStation 2, that has a very passionate fan base. Think of it as the horrible farming game on Facebook.
Farmville,
pre-Farmville, plus a lot more little fine details. Like you can go around and create relationships with people besides just tend to your farm kind of thing. This is called Tiny Pixel Farm by App Magna Net. Simulation game, E for Everyone, does contain ads, no in-app purchases, completely free. 2,172 reviews, average 4.3 reviews, updated February 1st, 2018, between 100,000 and 500,000 installs, version 1.1.1. If you were at all familiar with Harvest Moon, that is the only way I can describe this. It is a farming simulator plus community engagements, I'll say, can happen as well. Simple farming fun is what I'll say.
Now I'm the same place here, Dor, with this app as you were with the Puke app. One thing I just loved being in the computer business and owning a computer shop when Farmville was the thing, and people would drop off their computers and be worried about not getting them back for 3 days because, you know, their hard drive's dead, but their crops might die if they don't hurry back, if they don't get their computer back soon enough. That used to just crack me up, man. I loved it. I don't know, man. This is...
Well, did you ever play Harvest Moon?
No. Played then Sim Next. City.
Oh, completely different.
Yeah. Cities and farms are different.
Well, one, they both have four letters, but completely four different letters. I mean, C-I-T-Y and F-A-R-M, I'm just saying.
Would this require you to get back to your crops within a day or two or they all die? Is it like a Tamagotchi little creature that would die, you know, if you somehow not let it eat?
there is a prime time to pick your crops, but it's not like 1 second and then it's past its prime. They seem to be fine for like a day.
Okay.
So
my children have murdered more digital pets than I can even imagine.
Better that way. It's less smelly.
I'm with you, Eric. I wouldn't say I have a repulsion to apps like this, but there is zero attraction. I mean, I would have to be unconscious to care any less about this app than I do right now.
And I will just add one thing from our chat room. If you are a fan of Harvest Moon or you do hear about this game, Tiny Pixel Farm, and it does intrigue you, maybe you should also check out farmersonly.com. You might find love.
Very different thing.
I got news on that. Farmers Only. So we have an annual canal cleanup where we, me and this group that I'm a part of, I'm the secretary for the group. We get a bunch of volunteers and we go clean up the canal, the one that runs behind my house. And there's just trash, you know. It's just one day for 3 hours. But a few years back, we always start and end at a day's end. We have, you know, food and drinks and everything there. But it was the same day as a Farmers Only meetup was at that hotel. It was hilarious, man. Just truck after truck pulling in and parking. Then I had to go in and get like a tray of water or I don't know, cookies or something. And then I saw them setting up their whole presentations and stuff like that. I was like, wow, I wish I wasn't so busy today.
That would have to be some pretty good people watching.
Yeah.
Just sit and watch.
Who needs Walmart?
It's actually not that far from the Walmarts.
Surprise, surprise. I bet you there's an IHOP that's pretty close too, I'm just saying.
No IHOPs.
Well, guess what? They're planning one.
All right, Eric, since that app didn't interest you, what app did interest
you? This app interested me, and it was brought to me through the Google Plus from Bill Miller, and this is Red by Bart Bonte.
Yes.
So this is the sequel to Yellow. Basically, this is Yellow. It's the same kind of, your goal is to turn everything red, and Bart Bonte gives you many different puzzles to figure out how to do that. It's just random. I can't tell you anything other than that, because no two levels are anywhere close to one another as being near the same objective. And you just got to figure out what the objective is. The thing I love about Bart Bonte, there's no instructions. You just hit play and you're going, and if you get to the point where you really can't figure it out, there's a hint button. I haven't had to use it yet, but I haven't gotten through a whole long way into the game. But I can always tell if it's a Bart Bonte game, it's going to be good. Red is a good game. Even though it's a simple sounding game where you turn the screen red, it's extremely elegant. The play is just really well done, and the ideas he has for these puzzles is really great. Like one of them is simply all you do, it's a thermometer and you hold your finger on the fat bulb at the bottom and then the thing goes up and then it gets red all the way to the top and then that's the end of that level.
So yeah, this is like not Waldo, Wario mini games on the Nintendo systems where and here's the attraction, here's like this psychological aspect of this, Eric. Because there is no intro, because there is no nothing, because the game just literally drops you in and you have to start figuring it out in your room. After you figure out the first one, you have such a sense of accomplishment. That's how they now you want to, all humans then say, I figured that first one out. I can figure this one out too. I can figure that one out too. I can figure that one out too. I can figure that one out too. And just, you know, keep going level after level, and not having a tutorial is valuable with these kinds of games because each stage is so different. They can't give you a hint every level. Then it's not a game anymore. Then it's a activity like Minecraft.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess it's not like Minecraft. You're not, are you dissing Minecraft? I mean, at least
Minecraft sucks. Minecraft isn't even a game. It's just an activity.
Yeah. It's a place to use your creativity a little bit and build things. That's not, this is not that.
I mean, it's more worthless than Bitcoin. You can't touch it. It ain't real.
Okay. I mean, you could use Microsoft Paint and make something cool.
At least that you could print out natively in the application, just saying.
All right. That's my app, read by Bart Bonte. Thank you, Bart Bonte.
50 levels.
For producing games.
So here's the question, Eric. How many levels have you made it in? Because there's 50 in this game. And I'm going to guess just to make it past 10 is not easy.
Yeah, I think I installed it today or yesterday. Let me look and see what level I'm on. It's coming up. Skip. I am on. Ooh, I'm on 11.
There you go. Yeah.
All right. So just a couple of quick thanks to our Patreon supporters, Chuck, who showed us some love, and Eddie333. Thanks to both of you guys for your pledges or your adjustments to your pledges or whatever the case may be. We don't talk about amounts here because it's not about the amount. It's about standing up and being counted. Thank you for your support. We need it. So if you would like to be as cool as the two previously mentioned men are, you can go to Patreon, patreon.com/AndroidAppAddicts, and stand up and be counted by giving some money.
When I see Eddie333, I like to flip the threes around and just think it's Eddie.
Yeah, I like it. And so now let's empty some tanks, guys. Dor, let's start with you.
Okay, I'm going to bring just some random stuff here. The first one. Oh, man. Okay. You guys didn't like the Harvest Moon thing. I'm going to guess these are going to interest you even less.
Oh, no.
Let's go for that. We got to have goals in mind, people. This one is called Pocket Campaigns. This is meant for tabletop gaming, typically to the layman D&D type gaming, where you can have different campaigns with different characters. And this is a Android app kind of way for you to characterize all of the different campaigns you're in, because most of the time D&D is like a tattoo. When you get into it, it's hard to just play it with just one group of people and just one campaign, because typically you can only meet every week or every 2 or every 3 weeks. So what you find is this group of people, and then you run this campaign where you're a half orc rogue, and then you find somebody else running a campaign, and in that campaign you're a dwarf mage. And you have to keep track of all that. So this app will help you keep track of all of your different campaign and campaign strategies. A $1.99 app by Ian David Elder. It's in the role-playing section, E for Everyone. 3 reviews, 5.0 average reviews, all 3 of them. February 1st, between 50 and 100 installs. Current version 1.10. I believe this literally came out today.
That's a new app.
Yeah, and it does seem to do everything that I would expect it to do, is what I'll say. What I'm going to bring next is another D&D related thing, just because might as well stay on this train of disappointment for you guys. this one is called DLG Inventory 5E for D&D. No in-app purchases, no ads, completely free to download by Dirty Little Goblin. Role-playing game, E for Everyone, 62 reviews, average 4.7. Updated December 23rd, 2017, between 1,000 and 5,000 installs. Current version 1.0.3. Basically, it is a listable and database tool with a prettier interface to let you quickly categorize your money and inventory and armor and weapons and stuff inside of a D&D campaign, if you just want all of your inventory items to be in a nice little neat package, you can use this app. And this was the app I was really hoping to see a way to export the data, but I didn't see that. So far it's a good app, but I would really like the ability to export it and save it with the DM. So after each session, he can update his spreadsheet with all the information in it.
That app's not as new.
Not as new?
It's not as new as the app before. It's not that old, though.
Remember when I said I couldn't care less than I did about the Tiny Pixel Farm? You have proved me.
See, Mark, he's pulling your geek card on this. You know, he's pulling both of our geek cards.
No.
There are many different types of geeks.
No. I believe even Weird Al said in one of his songs, you know, there's all kinds of different geekdom and nerddom. Containers of categories. Not everyone's into D&D. Not everyone even likes D&D. I can't expect anyone to like it. I will say, if you're a fan of some of the RPG elements of some classic games, there is some crossover there where you might find it interesting. Mostly, the game has nothing to do with it. Dirty secret. The game has nothing to do with if you enjoy the game or not. The rules don't...
Yeah, same with me when I play poker. The poker is not the reason that the guys get together.
It's the guys. And that's the thing. It's the team that makes it. And let me tell you something. When you do a D&D campaign with Chad Corey, you're in for an adventure, is all I'm going to say. Because he is a unique fella.
All right. You got more?
I'll leave it there for now.
All right. We're going to get away from the D&D right now. And we're going to go to something amazing. Because this is called Amazing Katamari Damacy. Damacy? Damacy? What do you think, Mark? Help me out on that one. Amazing Katamari Damacy?
Sorry. I was playing in the chat room.
This is from Bandai Namco Entertainment Europe, the officials. So, I don't know. Are you guys familiar with Katamari? Okay. So you're like a drum-shaped headed guy, and you roll around on the street, and basically you're kind of like a lint roller, and everything you come into contact with sticks to you. And you just keep getting bigger and bigger as things keep getting stuck to you. But you can't really run into things that are bigger than you. As long as they're smaller, they'll stick to you. If not, you know. Anyway, so this is like that. It was a big game on the Xbox a long time ago, I think, and some other systems, but now it's on Android. It was beautiful Katamari on the Xbox, and now it's amazing Katamari on here. E for everyone, 3.0 for reviews from 759 reviews. Last updated December 5th, 2017.
I don't get it.
You run over things and they stick to you and you get bigger as you run things over.
I don't get it.
There is no getting it. It's just,
people.
That's all you need to know, Mark. It was huge in Japan.
When you run over people and their legs are like still walking as they're stuck to you,
no, that doesn't help, Eric. You know other things that are really popular in Japan, right, Mark? They're sure. A unique set of people, is what I'm going to say.
I think I'm going to read Kyle Nally's review of this. You guys realize that what people really want is a Katamari game like the old iOS one, right? How can you keep giving us these things other than that and expect it to be received well? Open world, tilt controls, original gameplay. Come on! This isn't hard to figure out.
Because this is more of an endless, kind of an endless runner game where he wants an open world. This is, yeah, you're very much on rails in this one. I feel him. All right. Snake Shake Vigorously Pro is my next app. It's by Andres Pro 100 Apps. Probably because he has 100 apps, I'm guessing. This has got a 4.1 review, basically 1,200 reviews. Last updated November 30th, E for everyone. So what this app is it's like a black snake on your screen, and you wiggle it, for a lack of a better word, with your finger, and you wiggle it too fast, and it freaks out and starts going spastic with like psychedelic backgrounds and things.
Can you shake your phone, since the name of it is Shake Shake?
Move your finger on the phone, you shake the snake.
So it's...
with your finger.
Okay. And this is a game?
No, not really a game. It's more of visualization. Kind of close. Just a fun thing, I guess.
Activity. It's an activity.
It's an activity. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry about that. I always get those two confused. Next game...
I feel like the old man saying, get off my lawn tonight.
It's right along those lines where you've got black figures on a colored, field, and it's called Stickman Parkour Platform.
Completely racist.
This is... It's not a blood red dragon on a field of green. It's black. Yeah, anyway. So this is your basic Stickman game, but he's a parkour expert, or you are. And this is a platformer. Dorm might like this one.
This one actually looks like a lot of fun.
It's not easy.
And the red, and I'll say the red is like lava, apparently, because, it should be.
Oh, red. Yeah, I guess.
In the very beginning. I'll tell you now, Eric, this is the kind of game I have to show my oldest son. I picture him loving the style and the gameplay.
Well, cool. Well, 1 out of 7 ain't bad, I guess. Here's another one. This is not a game. This is an activity or a utility, I would say. This one's called ASCII Cam. Back in the day, and I use this to explain to my kids how it used to be back in my day. Back when you know your first thing you saw printed out on a computer was the ZZ Top Eliminator car, and it was printed out basically by using letters and dots and dashes. And so this is how, you know, back in the day, this is how graphics were made. And so you can take your camera and point it at anything, take a picture, and it turns it into an ASCII, and it uses different characters. You can make it black and white or colored. It's a little fancy for an ASCII, you know.
Yeah, this is, oh, yeah. Back in my day, there was no color ASCII.
No.
Not until, like, mid or late into the BBSs, maybe, we got color ASCII.
Yeah.
And even then, the resolution, this is insane. This is like 20 monitors set up side by side resolution, because all we had was 24 by 80, I believe.
You can change this too. You can reduce it, you know, compress it as much as you want.
Right. Well, the bad thing is if you do, and I did just say do,
he said
24 by 80, it's going to be kind of difficult to make out what the picture is, because it was back then kind of hard to make out what the picture was. Mm-hmm.
And I'll bring...
But ASCII art is using letters. This isn't using letters.
Sure it is.
I can't see. I'm blind.
It's using...
It doesn't look like letters.
No, it's using letters and asterisks and dashes and everything it can. You know, no, it's not. It's pretty authentic in that way. You know, it's not just... I think there might be settings, too, where you can change what it uses.
But the name of the developer is Dozing Cat Software, which that's a really good name.
And it is free, and it is E for everyone, and it's a bunch of installs. Who knows? 4.2. My last... This one's a game, Dor. This one's actually a game.
Oh, there's more?
Oh, go ahead. Well, you know what? This might not be a game. I'm not going to be here next week, Mark. I got to empty my tank. This one's not a game. Right. Well, it could be, but it's Off-Road Outlaws. Off-Road, of course, is one word by Battle Creek Games. Our friends in Michigan, maybe? I don't know. Installs 1 million to 5 million, last updated January 17th, 2018. They are in Jefferson, Indiana. Go figure. So it's kind of like a wide open, you know, Motocross Madness was my game back in the day. It was a motocross car, not one of these four buggies, but you could just drive anywhere and just jump hills and stuff, and that's basically what this is, but on your Android phone.
I know, but there's literally not one single screenshot of actual gameplay in any of the pictures of this game, nor is there a video. So this game must be either the best game that has ever existed, or the developer, or whoever posted this to the Play Store, is like the janitor or secretary.
Yeah, well, they've got confidence. They knew.
That's more than confidence.
You get one to 5 million installs, and you don't put a video in your game. I think that tells you something, Dor. Why else would I bring it to this show?
That's like over 9,000 confidence, because I literally have no idea what to expect when I download this, because there's not a single shot.
Well, you know that you can buy gold.
Oh,
so it's going to be a money suck. That we know for sure.
I didn't have to buy any gold. I did find the edge of the universe, though. So that, you know, that's always the first thing you do. You got to, you know your bounds. I did.
I think this first line of the description really says it all. Mud, dirt, rocks, multiplayer, trucks, customizations, diesel swaps, quads, crawlers, SNS, free! It goes on and on. Stop reading. Just download now.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Yep.
So I guess that's really all you need to know.
That's it for my apps and my games.
Harry Tubman says maybe if this show had no video, there'd be more.
Well, I think we've done that before. We could go back to that.
I don't know. The show titles would suffer.
That's true.
I definitely have the face for radio. So
me too.
I can get behind that.
Well, you know, there's a little trick. You can put some Vaseline like right on your camera lens and it helps. Trust me. I know.
Keeps your lips from getting chapped.
I'm trying to reconcile my OCD and Vaseline on the lens. I just don't think those two things could exist in the same world.
Works good.
All right, so the apps tonight were Plex VR by Plex Inc., Minimalist Pinball by Bicodec Games, Catsby by OOTOT Games, Rainbow Puke by MyBox Game Studio. File Manager by Flashlight Plus Clock. Remindee by Rob J. Tiny Pixel Farm by App Magnet. Red by Bart Bonte. Pocket Campaigns by Ian David Elder. DLG Inventory 5E for D&D by Dirty Little Goblins. Amazing Katamari Damacy by Bandai Namco Entertainment Europe. Shake Shake Vigorously Pro by Andris Pro 100 Apps. Stickman Parkour Platform by Gabrielle Limburger. ASCII Cam by Dozing Cat Software. And Off-Road Outlaws by Battle Creek Games.
Holy moly.
I think we made up for last week. And next week.
We didn't.
15 nice. Apps. Good and true.
I'll talk about it. We didn't need to make up for last week. We already did five times better than in the other show last week.
That's true.
Oh,
I listened to the other shows last week. And yes, you're right.
Yeah. Half of them, the host didn't even show up. Oh.
Yeah.
Did I say that out loud? Sorry.
Well, we'll give you a heads up for next week. We're not going to show up. Unless I'm taking the recorder. There could be some impromptu. We could find a good, you know, Wi-Fi signal and upload something to the thing, you know, and make the RSS, you know, beam down and all that stuff. The door does.
Mm-hmm. Please, listeners, do not hold your breath.
Yeah. And if you do tune in and that show shows up somehow, you might not be able to understand anything we say.
Remember, don't drink in podcasts.
Mark's buying. Yeah. Yeah. Nuts at night.
All right.
we'll prove that.
No. 99% of the people listening to this have no idea what that is, and don't look it up, people.
Yeah. Or the Unbootables.
Okay. Thanks, everybody, for listening, for hanging out with us for this hour and a half or so. Eric, any final words of wisdom before you fade off into the great sunset that is wherever you live?
I would like to say thank you for listening. Thank you for telling your friends about the show. And we've had some new listeners lately, so that's working. I appreciate that. Share the show, you know, on Google Plus or Facebook or wherever your friends hang out. If you are getting some use out of this, if you're a recent convert from iPhone to Android and they need some apps, hook them up. Thanks for the Patreons. And if you've been listening and you feel like giving, it doesn't cost much to support the show, and that keeps us coming back here.
Dora, what have you to offer for our fine fans?
Well, I
want
to say thanks, everybody, for everything. Do not forget 7076PODNUT. If you would like to send us a voicemail, again, that's 7076PODNUT, or you can send us an email at aaa@podnuts.com and join in on the fun.
And always there's podnuts.com/live or live.podnuts.com?
Podnuts.com/live.
Which is, there you go, podnuts.com/live. So you two can be in the tub at roughly 9 p.m. Eastern time Thursday, starting a week from now. Come join us. Join the chat room. Those guys are a lot of fun in there. I only read some of what they're saying because some of it is not fit for recording purposes, but it's certainly a lot of fun. So join in there. It's a live experience like no other, I promise. But with that, I will say goodnight. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you all in a couple weeks. That's it for this episode of the Android App Addicts Podcast.
Hey friends, this is Eric Hardini, the manager. I can tell that you like podcasts and learning about technology. One of the fastest growing areas of tech is currently small, low energy consumption computing. Come join us on the Mini PC Show, where we discuss all the new small form factor devices. The Mini PC Show, big talk, little machines.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.